Welcome to MilSpouse House, where we discuss our personal experiences with being a military spouse, answer your questions, and try to navigate this journey together. I'm Erin.
And I'm Molly. So come on in, grab a coffee, get cozy, and let's have a chat.
Welcome, listeners, back to another episode of MilSpouse House. We have our special guest, Kayla Lyon. She is a mom of three, a Navy vet, Marine wife, but also a certified life coach. Kayla, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our podcast is a lot about helping spouses empower themselves and set boundaries with their families, communicate better with their spouses, achieve their own goals and dreams, and put themselves first, which I know we oftentimes don't. And you specialize in helping spouses get to where they want to be and maybe discover their passions along the way. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. So, like you said, I am a life coach, and I help military spouses love this crazy life that we're living instead of just counting down the days and weeks and months until retirement or EAS or whenever you're going to transition fully back into the civilian world. So, whether that's just like kind of like what you're saying, like the day to day stuff where it's like, you know, PCSing and always living in this like magical unknown place, like, hey, I mean, right before we started recording, you were like, how long are you going to be here? And, you know, like, we think it's going to be this long, but it might be this long instead, right? Like, we can all relate to that. So just kind of like dealing with that, like, day-to-day uncertainty and trying to, you know, still plan your life and like achieve goals and do things that you want to do for yourself while navigating all of the extra that comes with this life. Or if you do have like specific bigger goals for yourself or for your family that you really are working towards, or you're not making the traction on and the progress on that you want to be, we can really zero in on that and start to make more progress and get to where you want to go with that. So it's very highly tailored to each client and kind of where they are and where they want to go.
And you being a service member yourself and a veteran yourself, do you find that you're able to help your clients kind of navigate through maybe understanding what their spouse is going through? Or do you primarily focus on their goals and what they're trying to accomplish?
So the primary focus is always on my client that I'm coaching, right? So it's like, I don't coach their spouse. We don't try and get in their head and figure out what's going on for them specifically, because that's not what we have control over, right? Like, we only have control over like our own thoughts and feelings and like ultimately our actions and how we show up in the world. So that's what we focus on. That being said, I do have a little bit of a unique experience in that respect, because when it does start to kind of bleed over into like their relationship, you know, if like I want to run a marathon and I'm just like working on that, then that's kind of like very singular. But if it's, you know, I had this argument with my spouse, or, you know, we're PCSing and, you know, tensions are high and we're stressed and all that, and, you know, and there's a lot of blurred lines there, and we start to get into some of the relationship stuff, I can offer a little bit of a different perspective, and often coming from like a third party, unbiased, like I'm not emotionally involved, it's received a little bit better with a little bit more of an open mind sometimes, depending on the topic and how we're feeling about it, than one partner trying to explain the other one why this is the way it is. Sometimes when you hear it from like a neutral third party, it's just received a little bit better. And so, yes, that definitely can be helpful.
And were you both active duty when you got married?
Yes. Yes, we were. So we were married. We did the courthouse marriage. So we were legally married for two and a half years, dual mil, and then like big formal fancy church wedding. But for the all intents and purposes, yes, we were both active duty for about 2.5 years before I got out.
I know when you're dual military, a big reason why a lot of service members do the courthouse together is because they want to be stationed at the same place. Were you guys stationed at the same place, or was that a kind of a factor, moving piece?
So both. Super quick stories. Okay. We both went to the Naval Academy at the same time. He was 3 years senior to me. So we like knew who each other were, but we weren't like friends or anything because of the rules and whatnot. And then fast forward almost 7 years later, he was stationed at Kaneohe Bay in Hawaii. And then I showed up and was stationed at Pearl Harbor. And we literally like ran into each other on the beach. And just because like we had known each other from college, like we recognized each other. And that's kind of when our life together started. So we were independently stationed there. But then when I was up for orders, there was like a 0% chance I was going to stay. And that's where the courthouse paperwork situation.
We know how it goes.
There it is. Yep.
We thought it was so uncommon. And then we started talking and we're like, oh no, everybody does this. It's totally normal. Yeah.
Everyone does it.
Yeah. Molly has a great episode. If you want to go back and listen to our other episodes of her courthouse wedding, and it was beautiful from what it sounded, but it sounds like you were meant to be. Like, it was just bound to happen. You two are supposed to meet each other again.
It was a pretty crazy story, but that's for another day.
Kayla, how did you find the transition from going to active duty yourself and then to being, now you're the label of military spouse, Marine wife?
It was a long and windy road.
Yeah.
Well, I think what you're saying is, like, how did I handle that transition? Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, I guess to me it would seem very like abrupt, almost of a different lifestyle.
It was, and I also wound up getting out over a year earlier than we thought that I would. Like, we kind of knew that like he was senior to me. He liked his job a little bit more than I did. I was going to do the physical child rearing, just, you know, because of biology or physiology, whatever the right ology is. It was always going to be the plan, but the short version is Navy surface warfare officer, Marine helicopter pilot. Like, our options for co-location are like Hawaii, and that's really about it. And the Marine Corps picked him up and sent him to Quantico, Virginia, a year early, despite our situation. And so that's when I was like, okay, I guess this is how this is going to go. So it obviously took me several months to be able to like fully like transition out and follow him and whatnot. But it happened over a year earlier than we were expecting. So that alone was a kind of a shock and a big identity crisis. And then coming into like being the wife, and the job that he went to Quantico for was to fly at the presidential helicopter squadron. So everybody thinks that's like fancy and very important. And like, don't get me wrong, like it's a very cool job and it's high profile and all that stuff. But like, it's now, while I was kind of having this identity crisis and going through this transition of like losing like this, you know, I put my uniform on when I was 17 and then all of a sudden here I am and I'm like, who am I now? Right. So I was trying to go through that. And then I'm just constantly hearing about his job and how great he is and like blah, 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 blah. And like, obviously I'm a big fan of his, like I married him, but you know, trying to do one of those independently is a challenge. And then putting both of them together made a nice recipe for, and then like at that point, about halfway through that tour, I had my first baby. And so now I'm a stay-at-home mom, which I tried for a while, and that's just not what I'm cut out for. So here I am very happily working. So all of that kind of combined made for a lovely identity crisis. And so now I try to help my clients avoid going through the pain that I did. It's exactly what got me here, but it was a very long and windy road. So I try to shorten and straight shot it as much as I can.
Yeah, I think it's always helpful to talk to someone who's been through it, because so many people don't understand. I mean, that's exactly why we started this podcast, was because I personally felt like I couldn't talk to anybody about this crazy journey I was on. And even though we kind of have a collective experience, each military spouse has an individual experience that is tailored specifically to them and their service member. So back to your sessions, how do you like to start out with your sessions? Like, say you got a new client, brand new client, and they're coming to you, and maybe they don't really know, they just are compelled to get help. How do you kind of start navigating that journey with them?
So I'm gonna have to speak in like very broad generalities, obviously, because it's very like, it's super specific and tailored for, because like exactly what you said, like everybody's got their own unique story, right? Like, some people thrive as like, and again, we're talking in like a mass generalities, like in general, most of the time it's like the service member is the breadwinner and the husband, and like most of the time like the spouse is like the wife and the stay-at-home mom, et cetera, et cetera. But I know that's like not always the case, but in mass generalities, you know, some Some spouses are like super fine with, you know, bouncing around and moving, and they have, you know, remote jobs that they can kind of like seamlessly switch. So that's like one less piece that they need to deal with. And like some moms are like super stoked and awesome and totally feel called to be a stay-at-home mom. And so that's like kind of one less layer that they need to deal with. And then others have jobs that are like very tied to the location and not easily transferable, you know, so it kind of, it really depends on what we're looking at. But the basis of all of that is figuring out what, so like as my job as your coach is, I don't give you advice, I tell you what to do, what to not do. I help you find out what's actually going on in your brain. Like we do a lot of like mindset and thought work, which sounds very like airy fairy and like not always, it doesn't sound like super important and necessary if you're not familiar with it, but like that is like the basis of, that's like the foundation of everything. Like everything that we do and all the actions that we take is driven by a thought feeling combination, whether we're aware of it or not. And so most of the work that I do, especially in the beginning with my clients, with through the first several sessions, is figuring out the unconscious thoughts that we're having and the stories that we have and all of this baggage that we're carrying around and start to unpack that. And then that's when you can start to get a lot more intentional, right? Like even if your goal is to like train for a half marathon and you know, you can, your run plan, like the first couple weeks is like mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. You're like, okay. And then you get to like, you know, 8 miles and you're like, I just don't want to do it. It's not that you can't physically like, it's, you know, you like, what do you mean? How you just like, you put on your shoes and you go out there and run. But we all know that it's like, that's not how it works, right? It's not that simple. So then I help you unpack like the resistance that you're having and remove it. So then you're like, oh, okay. And then you go to do the thing that you want to do.
Ooh, I like that. So yeah. So it's not just career based. It doesn't have to be these big, gigantic things, maybe to someone else, but say, if it's important to me, you help me work through that. So you're saying that success is defined differently by the individual.
Oh, 100%. Right. Like if you look like, success is like super subjective, right? Like some days my success is like the kids are all fed and the house hasn't burned down. And that is a successful day for me. Oh, right.
Loud and
some days it's like, I am crushing it. I did all these things. I feel great. Like I helped 5 people. Like some days, like my success is awesome, but like my minimum baseline success for sure is like house is not burned down. All the children are alive, like husband's still, like, you know what I mean? Like, so there's one part of that is like having different levels of like, where are we, right? Like we've got like minimum baseline, like kind of garbage days. And then we've got like normal days. And then we've got like the unicorn days that they don't come a lot, but when they do, like I could rule the world right now, right? So, and even just like calling awareness to the fact that like we need to have a kind of like a contingency plan, if you will, to address those. Right? Because if you're planning and you're always expecting to have a unicorn day, you're going to be very disappointed, like a lot of the days, right? But if you're always planning for the garbage days, you're going to probably like be spinning and starting to get kind of like anxious and being like, okay, like what's, do you know what I mean? So it's like a very fluid continuum. So yes, like step one is to decide what is success for me and having a couple levels of that, because then when it turns into a garbage day, then you're not going to go beat yourself up and like get into this, like, I like to call it the vortex of doom, where you're just like on this like cycle of like,
oh, yes,
self-judgment, and then you don't do anything. And then like, maybe you like watch a ton of Netflix, or maybe you overeat, or maybe you overdrink, or you know what I mean? Like there's any number of things that you can do to try and solve that problem. But that's when you get into like the vortex and you just spin and spin and spin, and then you're not actually getting anywhere. I mean, and it could be something as seemingly as simple, but hugely life-changing, as like, I want to have a better relationship with my husband, or I want to yell at my kids less, you know, like it doesn't have to be this like big, grand, like very quantifiable goal. It could just be like, I just want to feel better. Like I wake up in the morning and I have this dark cloud over my head and I would like it to go away. Right.
Yeah. And sometimes you may not even know why. And with your sessions, you're kind of digging into maybe the why. Like you might think it's this one thing, but it's actually something completely different.
Most of the time that ends up being true.
Yeah.
yeah. If it was easy, you could just immediately put your thumb on it and be like, oh, that's the issue. Let's fix it. But it's not always that clear cut.
Exactly. But even if sometimes, you know, my clients are very aware of the issue and they're like, I know this is my problem. I just can't figure out how to solve it. Or it's like one step further than that is like, I know this is my problem. I know this is the solution, but I still can't get myself to do it. I
still can't get there.
Right. Yeah. So it's, there's all kinds of levels. Like we go from like, I have no idea what's wrong, but I just know I need help, to like, this is my problem. This is also my solution, but please help me do the things I need to do.
Yeah. I'm definitely a person that can get bogged down by all the, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. And then by the end of the day, I've done nothing because I've just sat there and thought about it all day.
Exactly. And then you feel guilty about it. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So one thing I was wondering about is, I know that I'm a person that doesn't really know how to express that I'm excited about my success. And I don't really know when to talk about it or when to, I guess, celebrate it with someone. Do you have any advice for maybe someone who wants to talk about it with their spouse? Like, how do you go about celebrating your success or your milestones? Because I don't know that I know how to do that personally.
Well, one, I think that's super normal. And I think we're socialized as humans, and then a little bit even more as women, to not, right? Because it's like, you're arrogant and you're bragging and like all of these things that are not great, right? So I think that's super normal to not kind of like downplay the good stuff that we're doing that we could be excited about. And I think that's it's really a tragedy. I mean, like, and I also am completely guilty of that, right? But I think it's so sad, because when you focus on the good stuff and like the progress that you are making, that's what fuels you to keep going, right? So I guess my business is a beautiful example of this. Like, it's could not be more opposite than like what my husband does, right? Like, I talk to him about like online business and marketing and like, you know, coaching and all this stuff. And he's like, looks at me, he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But he's still like, he's supportive and he wants to hear about it for 5 minutes, right? I'm not going to like dive into the weeds and all of that, right? Like, you have to have like work friends or business friends or whatever, like people who know what you're talking about that you can like nerd out about it with, et cetera. So I think that's probably a good way to kind of like broach that. Like, if you have a specific thing you're working on and you want to talk to your spouse about it, and just kind of share that with them, like, keep it short and sweet. Don't get into the weeds. I mean, like, again, if it's work stuff, you know, tailor that to like their interest level. Like, he can talk to me about his job a little bit more than I can talk to him. I can talk to mine about his, just because I understand a little bit more about what he's talking about. And it still is like a very like near and dear place in my heart, because I'm still very much like in this community, in this world. And he's like, the more I've been on this journey, and like the longer I'm in business and the longer I'm doing this, you know, these 5 minute conversations here and there start to like compound, and he's starting to like understand more of it. And I mean, I'm sure it's the same as like when you go from civilian to military spouse, right? Like, in the beginning, you have no idea what your spouse is talking about. And then like the longer you're in it, like, you go, it's the same thing, right? But don't expect them to sit down and like want like a masterclass on what you're talking about or understand everything you're saying. And if they kind of like zone out a little bit, it's probably just because, I mean, same thing, like, flip the roles. Like, if you're sitting here listening to him talk about like this pub that he read, you're probably going to glaze over a little bit, right? But it's not because you don't care. It's not because you don't love him. It's not because you're uninterested. It's because you're just like, I don't really know what's going on. So when you can kind of flip that perspective and keep it in like bite-sized pieces and just kind of share your excitement and be like, this is this thing I'm working on. I just wanted to let you know, or, you know, kind of like things like that, and kind of grease the wheels a little bit. I think it makes it a little bit easier to talk about it and normalize it. Right. And like, the more you start to do that from like, I'm really proud of myself kind of way, not in like an arrogant kind of way. Cause those are two very different like feelings, right? Like, they come from very different places. So when you're just proud of yourself and you're confident and talking about that way, it'll start to normalize it a lot more for your spouse, and then just in your life, right? Like, as you're talking to other people and your family and your friends and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know that I talked to a friend who used to be a coworker not that long ago, and she was like, "You sound really good," and there was nothing I said to her that I had done or anything, but things lately at that time like had really started working out for me, and I became proud of myself. And I found that just by me being happy with myself, even if I didn't share it with anyone, they could see a difference in me.
Exactly.
And so I'm sure you get to see that in a 6 month, because you start out with 6 month sessions, right?
Yes.
And you get to see that probably change drastically over those 6 months of their attitude and how they approach other things. Because if you learn how to approach it, something you're going towards, in a healthy manner, you start to approach other things in that same manner as well.
Exactly. How you do one thing is how you do everything. And it very quickly will start to bleed over into the other areas of your life in a very positive way, for sure.
I like that. I like that a lot. So one question I had for you, we talk a lot about setting boundaries with families, with friends, and we always touch on how difficult sometimes it is for civilians to understand that you don't know, you know, when you're going to be moving, or just like big life events, not being able to plan for anything. What do you think is the most helpful thing a military spouse could do? Or even if you're not a military spouse, if you're a civilian listening to this, how can we kind of bridge that gap and make it easier for both parties?
The number one thing is to remember that you can only control you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't change somebody else's thoughts or how they're feeling, or ultimately like the actions they're going to take. Like, we like to think that we can do that, but we really can't, right? You can influence it to a degree and kind of like manipulate here and there. But ultimately, like, everybody, even my 2-year-old, much to my dismay, has agency and can do what he wants, right? And it's the same true as like your spouse and your family and everything. So remembering that you can only control you, I think, is really powerful. And I think that sounds so simple, but really can shift your perspective in a way. It just takes the burden off of you a little bit, right? Because like, so many people will say, I actually was just talking to another spouse about this like 2 days ago. She was like, oh, like my sister-in-law, or I forget exactly who it was, but like one of her family members like wants an invitation to come visit specifically because she feels rude asking to come visit. But she's like, we don't do that. Like, people, like the rest of our family just like says like, hey, we would like to come visit, like, when works for you. So she's like, I don't really want to invite her specifically because that's just not who I am. And I was like, you changing yourself and you doing something that doesn't feel right to you to please her is, that's ultimately being rude to yourself. Like, that's ultimately lying to yourself. And that's like twisting yourself into a pretzel to people please her. So now she's happy in theory, but she's happy with you. That's like not even the real version of you. Right. So it's either like her happiness or your, and like happiness in this example is like a little bit of an extreme word right here, cause it's like a kind of like a small example, but she's now like happy with the girl I was talking to about, like, but not, that's not like who she really is. Right.
Right.
So I think, one, remembering that like ultimately she can do what she wants to do and I can do what I want to do. And I don't have any control over that. And I don't need to take any responsibility for that, because I only take responsibility for myself, I think, is very important. And also setting healthy boundaries, but boundaries need to come from love. And that, you guys just talked about this recently, like last week or two, which I thought was a really brilliant conversation. But like, that's the biggest thing, is like, not in the heat of the moment, not from anger. Even if it's a week later, if you're still like feeling really angry, like, you need to get a place from like genuine love before you're setting the boundary for both yourself and the other person, because that's going to make all of the difference. And if you're in a place, and if you're in a situation where you need to set a boundary, like, expect the other person to maybe be a little disappointed, maybe be a little angry, like maybe be a little bummed out. Like, they are completely entitled to feel however they want to feel about it. That's not your responsibility to take on. And ultimately, once they work through that, most of the time, like, you're going to come out in a better place, because the trust in the relationship is going to be much stronger. And then now when I say, hey, come visit, like, you know that I really mean it and I'm not just trying to like lip service you, right?
Right.
Sometimes the relationship goes in a different direction as a result of the boundaries, but you at least know that you're living in integrity with yourself and you're showing up for yourself, because it comes down to either like, he's happy or I'm happy. And so many times we choose the other person's happiness over ours. So then we're sitting there and reeling and like, we're ticked off and we feel like we feel terrible. We feel like garbage. So at the expense of ourselves, like, we're trying to make somebody happy at the expense of ourselves. And that's ultimately like not a sustainable life practice, right? Like, that's how you get into resentment and anger and garbage all the time, right?
It just makes me think of wanting to come over, but coming over to someone's house that isn't being themselves. Like, I've done that so many times. I've called people, right? Well, I really want you to call me. All right. Well, I'm not really in the space to call you right now, but I will call you right now.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And so in that, I mean, and there's the difference there, because like, when you're calling them just to make them feel better and you're not in like the right place, like, that conversation probably isn't going to be great, right? Like, it's probably not going to feel great for you or for them. So like, the ultimate goal of like the connection or whatever the goal for both of you out of that conversation is not achieved. Plus now you probably are like layering a little bit of like resentment or irritation on top of it. So that's going to carry over, and that's not going to like foster like a loving connection relationship with this person. And when you set that boundary and you uphold it and you're like, hey, like, I appreciate you want to talk to me, but like, now's not a really good time. Can I call you tomorrow or next week or whatever? They might be bummed, but they also know that the next time you call, it's because you genuinely want to and not because you're doing it just for them.
Right.
Which is that distinction is not in a lot of people's awareness very often, but once you like see it, that is normally something that most people desire, right? Like, they don't want you to turn yourself into a pretzel for me. So once you can kind of like get to that place, it's a much more like connected, open, loving relationship, even if it does mean that you talk less or, you know, whatever the situation is.
That's like, the hope is that it strengthens the relationship.
Exactly.
I know Molly and I talked, I think it was last week, Molly, where we talked about, we sometimes feel like we live two different lives. Like, there's the military spouse life with our service member, and then there's the old life back home that everyone kind of still expects us to live up to and to be.
The most important thing that you can do for yourself is just to live in integrity with yourself and like be true to who you are and show up how you want to, because that's who you are. And then sometimes that's going to foster an even closer connection and a better relationship with people. Sometimes it's going to mean that like that particular relationship is completed and it, you know, it was great while it was, and like that's not a problem. Right? Like, that's not a bad thing. That's not a problem. Like, I have some friends from high school that I barely talk to now because we just have lived very different lives. And we, you know, we still keep in touch from time to time, but it's not, we're not like super tight the way that we were, because we just don't relate to each other on the same way that we used to. And like, that, none of that's a problem, right? It's not good or bad. Like, there's no right or wrong or anything. It's just that relationship has come to a completion. And so now we're both hopefully a little better for it, and we've learned from it, and it's been a positive experience in our lives. Or even if it hasn't been, it's just nothing has gone wrong. If you kind of drift apart from people because you're evolving and changing, and you're both, you know, evolving and changing in a different way, it doesn't mean that anything has gone wrong or that it was a waste of time or love or anything like that.
Yes, I have definitely experienced that. And I guess I always felt guilty for it personally.
I like how you explained that, because yeah, it feels so heavy, deep, and real when it happens. And it's just like, sometimes you don't want to let go, because like, you had all these great times and you think about all the great times you could have. So it's like that tug and pull, but your friendship can be completed, and that doesn't erase the past. That doesn't erase all the good times you had together, all the things you learned, did together, all the memories. It just means that you're in a different place of life right now with each other.
Exactly. Along that same vein, though, is like, even if you talk to, you know, your best friend that you used to live next door at your last duty station, all of a sudden you're talking like once a year, or like the only communication you have is like a Christmas card to each other, like that's not a problem either, right? Like, nothing has gone wrong. I have friends from like my very first ship that I have not talked to in years that I could, you know, call up tomorrow and be like, hey, what's up? You know, and it's not like, oh my God, like I'm mad at you because you haven't talked to me in 5 years. They're living life too, right? Mm-hmm.
I've been making mountains out of molehills my whole life.
And that, Erin, is why I have a job.
I know.
Right? That's just, I mean, that's just a very normal, natural thing that our brains love to do. And
our society loves to do too. You know?
Exactly. It's just the way that we've been socialized. It's the way that we've evolved. Because, you know, thousands of years ago, like, if you weren't a part of the tribe, you might die. Right? And now it seems that way. It's not normally that dire, right? Like, there aren't bears chasing us on a regular basis, hopefully.
Hopefully not.
Right? Like, it still seems that way to our, like, animalistic and, like, basic survival instinct part of our brain, but it's not actually true. So being able to kind of step back and make that distinction makes a very big difference.
Wow, I never thought about it that way. That's so interesting.
And technology makes it even easier to do that, too. We have so much technology, social media. You know, I have friends that I haven't actually talked to in years, but we're social media friends. So I feel as though I am keeping up with them to a certain extent because of pictures. And even if we just like each other's pictures, I still feel like I'm not keeping tabs on them, but just like, they're, you know, I'm thinking about them and I'm happy that they're happy or that they're having kids or that they're getting married. And I have so many of those those people. And that's kind of the beautiful thing about social media, is that you can have those kind of passive relationships. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but yeah, you don't have to be actively in the relationship with them to both gain something from it.
Exactly. I've never heard it said, like, described as like a passive relationship, but I think you're definitely onto something there. That's a very cool kind of way to think about it. Exactly what you're saying. It's like, you're still in life. Like, you know, if you're like in the same place or you cross paths or whatever, like you're going to like pick up and chat and have lunch or whatever, and it's fine, but you don't have to be like actively engaging with each other, like on any level constantly, to be still like in the relationship. Cause like ultimately, like, our relationship is just kind of like the thoughts that we're having about the other person, right? Like, one person can be like all in and the other person can be all out and you don't even really realize it. So as long as like you're good with where you are.
On the other side of social media, do you ever find yourself having to tell your clients to ignore what some people are doing? Because I find myself comparing myself all the time. And I've backed off of social media a lot because of it, because there's a lot of things I can't do because I'm here in Korea and I'm a little limited on activities, just like going places. And I find myself like having to back off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Compare and despair is a thing. And it's, again, like, that's a very natural thing for our brains to kind of go to. And sometimes you don't even really see it happening. One of my biggest kind of tips, I think, especially when you're kind of getting into like that category of topics, is to really pay attention to your inputs, right? Like, what are you putting into your brain? Whether it's like the news, whether it's the radio, whether it's social media, whether it's podcasts, whether it's music, like whatever you're listening to, it kind of comes back to the, I don't remember for the life of me who originally coined it, but it's like, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? And that's not just in person. That's it, especially now, like you were saying, with technology, like with how connected we are. Like, I feel very connected. Like, I have a couple podcasts that I listen to religiously every week, and the hosts have no idea who I am. We've never spoken, but they are very influential in my life, and they're in my ear constantly. So like, they are definitely like part of that equation of like, in the average of who I am and like the people that I surround myself the most with. So it's like, if you're constantly, especially in the last couple of years with everything that's been going on all over the place, like, if you're constantly listening to the news all day and you're constantly listening to, you know, the doom and gloom, and you're constantly listening to other people complain. I mean, I love a good Mill Spouse group, but sometimes they're very good and they're very helpful. And sometimes they are not as constructive, if you will. Right. And so if you get sucked into that, all of a sudden you're going to look at your life and think everything is terrible, when it's kind of, you know, it's a glass half full, glass half empty kind of thing. But if you don't realize how much negative or even neutral input that you have into your brain, and you're not balancing that out with the positive, and it's not even a one-to-one either, it's like, you need like kind of like four positive for every one negative to balance it out. Whether that's like, you know, if you want to time it by like minutes, or like, look at, you know, I'm going to watch like the news for an hour, so I'm going to go, you know, watch a cat video or something, or like go for a walk, or like go talk to, you know, listen to like a podcast like this, or, you know, talk to my husband or something, to balance that out, to make sure that you don't have this like constant stream of negative. And what a lot of people don't realize is, when you're scrolling social media and you're looking at your friends and you're getting into that compare and despair, even though what you're looking at seems like uplifting and fun, like, if you're looking at it through, this is great and I'm genuinely happy for them, and, you know, it's going to push me forward, and now I'm like, this is possible for me, that's one thing. But if you're looking at it from like, I can't do any of this, I don't have these resources, I'm not, you know, blah, blah, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not skinny, like all of the stuff that our brains do, like, if that's what's happening for you, you need to be really aware of that and either knock it off, like stop looking at that stuff, or balance it out with the positive, so you don't end up, again, here we go with the vortex of doom, right? It's very, very easy to spiral, and then you don't even realize that it normally takes a while to actually realize that's what's happening.
Yeah, that really hit me when you said it doesn't even, those five people don't even have to be, you know, you physically know them, or you emotionally like are in a relationship and connected together. I've never thought about that. And when I stopped watching all of the news that was going on in America, it changed my whole It changed my whole experience in the last, I would say, probably about 8 months. Because, I mean, ultimately, like, I'm not in America, so it was very hard for me to keep up with stuff back there and feel, I was feeling so many different things. Because, again, I felt like two different lives was happening to me at once. I wasn't a part of it, but then it was also, like, I had a lot of opinions about it, and it just wasn't working out for me mentally. But I didn't realize that yeah, it has things on the internet or music or movies or anything like that. Just they also impact your mental state just as much as your relationship with other people are. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I stopped watching the news in my husband's first deployment, and that was years ago, and I have not picked it back up. If I have a question, or if I have, like, you know, something like I want to know about a current event of some sort that's going on, or regulations or something, I'll specifically Google it. But yeah, I won't just sit in front of the, you know, the TV or computer or whatever, however I'm getting the news. Cause yeah, that's not good for any, I want to feel like that's not good for anyone's sanity. No matter how old you are, but like the constant news in the background, I feel like, and you can totally tell me if this is off base, but I feel like the generation that struggles with this the most are like the grandparents, the people within, I would say, like the 70s to 90s, because mm-hmm. I feel like that was their only source of information for so many years growing up. That they
well,
do.
But
those
when it
people.
Was, it was like for 30 minutes a day, and that was it.
Yeah.
It was like evening
yeah,
news. Like, we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle when they were our age, right? If
yeah.
I had a nickel
yeah.
for every time I told my 85-year-old grandmother to just turn off the news, I'd have a lot of nickels.
Turn it off.
She calls me, and she's like worried about everything. I was like, first of all, I love you. You're 85. Stop worrying. We should probably be a little concerned. You don't need to worry, number one.
Yeah.
She's like, number two,
yeah.
turn off the television. She's like, but I need to know what's going on. And I'm like, why? I turned off
no,
the news
don't.
Like 2 years ago. I have not missed anything.
I'm
very
alive.
Aware that we're in a pandemic. I'm very
yeah.
aware of like all of the rules of like, I've not missed a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's
yeah.
also like they're dictating what you think about as well. Like what you're doing, Molly, is deciding for yourself, this is what I'm interested in. This is what I care about. And I feel like with the news, I was getting worried about cities I've never even heard about and I'm never going to visit. And our country, America's quite large. Like South Korea is the size of Kentucky on its side. And then you,
oh, wow.
like that's the country. And
I've
then,
never thought about that.
Yeah. Well, with way
Holy
more
cow.
People. And then you have America and it's so huge. You don't realize it. And it's like, that's their problem, I guess. Like, I have to worry about my problems. And if my mm-hmm. city has something really bad going on, yeah, or my state or something. But, you know, there's a lot of issues that I absolutely cannot control.
Exactly. And I struggled for a little while about, like, things that I'm passionate about that I agree with or don't – or I agree with or I disagree with that I want to, you know, make an impact on or try and evolve. And I finally came to the realization. I was like, at this moment in my life, like this current season of my life, the most productive that I can be to move my family and my city and my country in the direction that I wanted to go is to raise my kids, not to be a-holes, and to support mm-hmm. my husband in his job mm-hmm. and to coach my clients hard and to be the best coach that I can for them. Like that is the most direct way that I can contribute to society as a whole right now. Now, you know, in 15 years when my kids are grown and my husband's retired and all that, like if I want to like, you know, start going all in and like, you know, volunteering and like, not that I have to wait 15 years to volunteer, but you know what I mean? Like if I want to like really go all in on like this specific cause or like donate my time or money or energy or whatever, I can do that at that point. But for me right now in this season with three kids under four and a active duty husband and all this stuff, like I can't, that's not how I can like directly impact. So when I made that decision, when I like really looked at it and I was like, what is the most impact that I can have every day right now? And I was like, honest to God, that's it. I just kind of released the reins. I let go of all of the guilt that I was carrying around about not being able to like do more, you know, for these causes and things that I really am passionate about. And I was like, this is the season of my life. This is what I can do the most with right now. And then I will reevaluate as the seasons change. And I don't mean like the weather seasons, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, as my kids all, when once all my kids get into school, I'll have a little bit more time. And like when my husband retires and, you know, we, you know, all of the things that we deal with, right? So it's not that I need to, that I can't do anything ever. It's like I have these like desires and goals that I want to do that I can't do ever, but I'm choosing to not make them a priority for me right now because of the season of my life that I'm in and my circumstances. And then, but it's not never, right? Like I can always come back to it and I can always reevaluate. And that takes a lot of the pressure off because when you're like, I have to do everything right now, then you spin around and you run around like a, with your hair on fire, and then you don't actually get to do anything. And just because you can't do it right now, just because you're choosing not to make it a priority right now, doesn't mean never, right? Like you can always redecide, you can always reevaluate, and you can always switch things up when you decide to.
You gave us a lot of great things to talk about. Kayla, where can everyone find you? I'll add all of your Instagram and your website and everything in our description, but can you tell us where anyone can find you to set up a session?
Yeah, sure. My website is Kayla Lyon, KaylaLyon.com. No S on the end of Lyons. That's a common mistake. And my all my social media handles are at Kayla MJ Lyon, like Marie Johnson Lyon, MJ Lyon. And that's the same across. And Instagram is where I'm the most active on. Everything else is it's just kind of there. So Instagram's the best place to follow me. If anybody has any questions or, you know, just insight or whatever feedback, send me a DM on Instagram. I love, you know, just meeting new people and reaching out and giving back and serving the community and just continuing to foster like the community as a whole. And like we've kind of already touched on, like I don't have a lot of in-person friends between the moves and the pandemic and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think probably everybody listening can relate to that, but it has been super fun to like build these like genuine relationships. Like the amount of online friends that I have that I've never actually met that I actually are like, I'm pretty good friends with. It's not a lot, but it's way more than I would have expected. You know, a couple of years ago, I'm like, wait, what? Like, I've never even met you in real life. So yeah, I love meeting new people and talking about stuff. So, but on Instagram and on Facebook, and then on my website, if you want to book a consult, you can book a free consult. It's an hour. We kind of talk about where you are, where you want to go, how I can help you get there, and what it would look like to work together if that is something that you're interested in.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you very much, Kayla.
Mill Spouse House is brought to you by VA Claims Insider. VA Claims Insider is an education-based coaching consulting company for disabled veterans who are exploring eligibility for increased VA disability benefits. VACI was founded in 2016 by Brian Reese, Air Force Service Disabled Veteran and former U.S. Air Force Captain.
VACI currently serves more than 300,000 unique veterans per month across its websites and membership programs. VACI's mission is veterans helping veterans access education-based resources to get the VA disability rating and compensation they deserve.